Get ready for a parenting adventure. Welcome to Little Adventures Parenting and Beyond, the podcast that explores all things family. From child development to mental health, we've got you covered. Join us for a fun and informative discussion with expert guests and real-life parents. Let's go on an adventure. Welcome back to another episode of Little Adventures Parenting and Beyond. We have a special guest with us today, Lisa Dahl, who is going to talk to us about intuitive eating. And I don't know if you know what intuitive eating is, but this is a whole new concept for me. So I am so excited to hear all what Lisa has to say.
All right. Well, Lisa, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. And I'm even more excited that you share that you have not heard about intuitive eating. So we get to dig into all of it.
Right. I did some Googling, but I'm like, I'm going to talk to the expert first.
So with that, can you explain what intuitive eating is and how it differs from traditional dieting approaches?
It is the antithesis of dieting. Dieting is based on rules, regulations, what you can't do, what you can do. Everybody's the expert except for you. Intuitive eating is based on instinct, emotion, and rational thought.
Okay.
It is, when you think about dieting, we have been all taught that the diet is going to keep you safe. You follow all the rules, you do all the things, and then you say, as soon as you break your diet, I'm so out of control, I don't know what to do, I need to go back on my diet. Mm-hmm. What would it feel like if you flip that thought that it is the diet that is making you feel out of control because you have lost the autonomy of knowing what is best for you, so that when you break up with the diet and you learn how to connect your mind, your body, your heart, your food, you become the expert on you. Something to just start to think about as I share what intuitive eating actually is. So, because we are talking, you're talking to moms. So everybody is a mom either by natural birth or a foster mom or adoption. No matter what, you still have to feed your babies. And we learn quickly that a baby's body cues are that they will start to suck on their fingers. They'll smack their lips. They will cry if their needs aren't met. When you get to know your baby, you know the difference between a hunger cry and a dirty diaper cry or an unsettled colicky cry. And then when you feed them, they will either close their mouth or they will push away or they'll fall into that food coma because they're satisfied. That baby knows its body cues. It knows when it's hungry. It knows when it's full. We are all born intuitive eaters. It's all the messaging and all the rules and all the things that get put on us along the way where we lose that disconnect with our natural body cues. So one of the things that I did, because I nursed my babies for a very long time and they slept terribly. And I'm like, oh, you know, baby's not sleeping. Let me see, you know, let me top them off. Mm-hmm. First messaging, not to trust their own body. Then we start to add as they get older, oh, you can eat that. It's good for you. Oh, no, no, no. You can't have that cookie. It's bad for you. We're going to be eating soon. Then we get into school and you have to eat before breakfast, before you leave for school. And then you have to eat 2 hours later because lunchtime is at 12 minutes after 10. And all then we start to eat according to the clock and we continue to be disconnected from our natural body cues and our thoughts. So intuitive eating has no rules and it's based on principles. And it was really formalized about 28 years ago by two dietitians, Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch. And they really formalized the practice that has been around forever. And there's over 150 scientific studies that support this practice and that 95% of us that go on diets are going to fail the diet. So it's the diet has failed you. You have not failed the diet. And most of us that have gone on diets have the lovely pleasure of not only losing weight, regaining the weight, and then regaining additional weight, which started us on this path that somebody told us that we weren't good enough to begin with. So getting to the meat of it, what are the principles? The first principle is rejecting diet culture, the diet mentality. All those things that you have heard because we have heard them so many times that we have believed them to be true. Your body, there's something wrong with your body, that fat is terrible, that you don't fit in, all of these things. It's set up for somebody else to make a ton of money off of you because they make you feel like crap. And that it is not a fact that smaller bodies are better bodies, smaller bodies are not happier bodies, and smaller bodies are not healthier bodies. There's studies that show that information is not true. So the first thing is to reject diet culture. All that messaging that makes you feel like crap, you can remove those thoughts and create new thoughts. The second principle is to honor your hunger. So if you are a dieter, we take great pride, and myself included, because I was a dieter from the time that I was, you know, 12 years old until about 4 years ago. We take great pride in saying, oh, you know, I'm not hungry. I don't need to do this. I can skip breakfast. If I eat now, then I'm going to eat all day. And we get into this whole bargaining game with ourselves, and it's easier to ignore our hunger. And we do such a good job that we actually don't even feel our hunger, and we become disconnected. When we learn to honor our hunger, that helps with the other things, because when our body is starving, our body is pissed, and it can only do it for so long. And then our biological needs kick in, and then we refeed, and then we blame ourselves for being emotional eaters, when actually most of the time we're just hungry. The principle is permission to eat. And please jump in anytime you have questions. I don't want to, you know, just go on a long diatribe. So feel free to ask questions if I touch on something. The third principle is permission to eat food. How many times have you told yourself, you know, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this. And as soon as you break your diet, that is the first thing that you are diving into, that tub of ice cream, that bag of cookies, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. When yourself permission to eat food, knowing that you can have more tomorrow, you don't have to eat the whole thing. We remove that last supper mentality.
Yeah, eating a whole sleeve of Oreos or eating all the pasta in the house because you're doing no carbs next week.
Right. That is a perfect example.
Done it.
Yeah. And you are not alone. You are not alone. The fourth principle is challenging the food police. So after you, or while you're eating that sleeve of cookies, what is that nasty voice sitting on your shoulder telling you about how horrible you are, or how many calories you have just consumed, or how many macros, and all these balancing acts? With intuitive eating, there is no counting calories, there is no weighing food, there is no weighing of bodies. So that's an important fact to remember.
Okay.
Fifth principle is satisfaction. When we're on a diet, nobody cares about satisfaction, and satisfaction is not just about the food that you're eating. Satisfaction has to do with your environment. Who are you being surrounded by? What is your financial security? What is your stress level? How are you managing with your emotions? So one of the principles is coping with your emotions with kindness. One of the examples that I can give you is that when I was in the middle of my divorce, my soon-to-be ex-husband planned this beautiful night. We went to this amazing restaurant. We were talking about divorce. I didn't taste any of the food. There was no satisfaction. I could barely breathe through the conversation. So it is all of these things. It is not just about the food in front of you. It is connecting how you're feeling in your head, your heart, your mind, your body. All those things matter. Feeling your fullness. We often eat by the size of our plate, or whatever reason, we easily blow past our fullness cues, and we can easily eat to overfull, which could lead to that feeling, that stuffed, uncomfortable feeling. And when I'm talking about principles, none of this is 100% doable all the time. There's flexibility. It is about a practice so that you continue to shift how you have that relationship. Respecting your body. Because when you are in a plus size body or a fat size body, we say terrible things to ourselves. Even if you are in a smaller body and you feel that you are uncomfortable in your skin, you are telling yourself terrible things. When you respect your body, when you are focusing on actions and behaviors that make you feel better, that's when you treat your body better. Movement for the joy of movement, not for shrinking your body. Because what happens is that when we are so focused on losing inches or hitting a number on the scale, and when that doesn't happen, we throw in the towel, we break our diets, we say, well, why bother? I don't need to move. It doesn't matter. It does matter if it makes you feel better. So that when you focus on that walk or the Zumba class or whatever it is that makes you happy, or yoga. Mm-hmm. When something, because it makes you feel good, you get that intrinsic motivation to go back for more. And that's how you measure success. And the last principle is gentle nutrition, because we have spent the other principles focusing on how food and how these actions feel in our body, so that when we add in nutrition, we don't turn it back into another diet, so that we're always more focused on the mind-body connection than the rules and the restrictions.
So I guess with that, how does somebody start this journey of going from, because I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all done it where we're stuck in that ideology that diets are the thing, or that you have to eat only a certain amount to feel good about yourself and things like that. So how do you change your mindset to start this type of journey? Because for me personally, I've had a smaller frame my whole life, but I've always had body image issues. So I've always had in the back, oh, I can't eat that today because I ate this yesterday and things like that. So how do you go about changing that mindset, I guess, to begin this?
What is that first step? Like, what does that look like? If somebody had told me 5 years ago that I was going to be a non-diet health and wellness coach, I would have said, never, not me, not even the realm of a possibility, because I was tied to a diet. I was tied to the self-worth of my body. I was tied to weighing and measuring every ounce of food that went into my mouth, as well as my body. When I discovered a community called Health at Every Size, and there's a book out there by Health at Every Size by somebody named Linda Bacon, who now goes by Lindo Bacon, I learned that smaller bodies are not happier bodies, healthier bodies, or better bodies. It shattered everything that I thought to be true. So the first thing that I would say when you're talking about this conversation is that not dieting, not throwing in the towel. You are not giving up on yourself, that you don't care, that you can't do this thing. It's learning to create awareness of your thoughts. What are you thinking? Are these things really true? Is what you're doing, has it really worked for you? If you are a dieter, chances are you have, you know, and I don't talk about numbers, you have been up and down. Like, think about the roller coaster, the largest roller coaster that you can imagine being on in the amusement park, up and down in loop-de-loops. You're either high or low, or your head is spinning. What would it feel like to get off of that amusement park ride and go to the baby park? And just so it has like natural ebbs and flows of, because health and wellness is a moving target. There's, you know, we could be perfectly quote unquote healthy for our best body today, and 2 seconds from now, we could be flat on the floor. We don't know what's changing. Right. All you can do is have control over this moment in time. So it starts with saying, okay, what I'm doing has not worked. I am constantly feeling up or down or in between. And it's creating that awareness. The second step is thinking about, what do you want your best future self to be? How do you envision yourself a year from now? What does that person look like, feel like? And when I'm talking about looking like, I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about all the things in your life. And then breaking it down to say, okay, my 3-month goals, what are the actions and the behaviors that I want to start to, that I want to start to take to achieve? And it could be depending on where you are. Like when I work with my clients, I meet them wherever they are at this moment in time. You don't have to be X. You have to be you, with honesty and wanting to feel authentic and wanting to learn how to shift those uncomfortable thoughts to create better thoughts. So we have the ability, just like we have learned to think these terrible things and say these horrible things to ourselves, we have the ability to shift those thoughts and to create kinder, more gentler thoughts. And I'm not going to say that you are going to go from body hatred to body love in, you know, 24 hours, because some of us right. have been dieting for 20 years and some of us have been dieting for 40 years or been told that our body isn't good enough. A simple new thought could be, I am learning to accept that I can accept my body. Starting where the simplest thought is that your brain is not going to say, no way, I'm never going to believe that. That's just not happening. So we really begin with wherever you are at. And we talk about what's important to you, where do you want to be, and how do we backtrack that to get you to where you want to be?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Because I, growing up, my mother was always on diets. And so that was ingrained in me. So then, you know, I followed that tradition. So I'm hoping that, you know, I can change that for my kids as they're growing up and starting to see, you know, mimic my behaviors, because you want to model what you want your kids to do, right? So I guess, how can we then bring this to children? Like, how do we promote this as parents? So if we're starting this journey, how do we include our kids in this journey as well? Because they're going to be following whatever we're doing, right? So what's the best way to include them in this kind of mindset transition?
So first is being aware of your own relationship, noticing your actions, noticing where did your stories come from, creating that awareness. And depending how old your children are, having that conversation by saying, you know, I've really noticed this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm saying, and I've taken a step where I need to heal my relationship, and I want us to learn together of what the impact has. You know, what were those rules? How do we break that diet cycle for the next generation? There is there's several books that I love. And if you have young children, no matter how old your children are, there's a book called Raising Intuitive Eaters by Amy, I might get their names mixed up. It's Summers and Brooks. If you Google that, it'll come up. I should have brought the book in front of me, but I always get their names mixed up. What I love about that book is that it helps you without the judgment, without making you feel shamed of, oh no, like this comes out of my mouth all the time. We all make mistakes. I mean, we're moms, we're humans, we're parents, we're caregivers. We're doing the best that we can. And there is no perfect parent. And if they think that they are, then they're sadly mistaken. Parenting comes from the heart. Parenting comes with love. And if that's where it is coming from, your mistakes are made with the best of intentions. This book helps you feel okay about the mistakes that we all make and that you're going to make going forward, because we all are going to make them. It helps you give you the language on how to work with your children, how to understand and be aware of what is coming out of your mouth. How to, like, the labeling, oh, that's a good food, bad food. We don't eat that in our house. Well, you know what? If you're not eating it in your house, so if let's just say, you know, Twinkies, oh, we could never have Twinkies. They're terrible. They're all these things. But they go to like Susie's house and there's a box of Twinkies. Not only are they going to have one Twinkie, chances are they're going to have a half a dozen Twinkies.
It's funny you say that, because so we have candy and cookies and cake all over our house. Because I don't limit it. I don't care if the kids want to have some candy or cake or cupcakes. We just have snacks all the time. But I know when we have friends over, the first thing they do is they open our pantry because we know they have the good snacks. And they hoard on snacks. And my oldest is 7. He's like, Mom, why does everybody want our snacks? I'm like, because normally they don't have that at home. Like, you know, he's like, but it's just candy. And I was like, well, to some kids, candy is they only get it on Halloween and Easter. He's like, but you buy candy like all the time. But then on the flip side of that, the other night we were eating pork chops and we had really, really good green beans. And I was like, oh, TJ, do you want some more green beans? He's like, no. He's like, I already had enough. I don't need any more. And I was like, what do you mean you don't need any more? He's like, yeah, that's what you say. You know, you're like, oh, I already eat too much. I don't need any more. I'm like, well, are you still hungry? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, well, then you should eat. And I'm like, I put that in his head. After you have X amount of servings, you've had enough. Even if you're still hungry, you've had enough. You shouldn't eat anymore. And so that's why I was so excited to talk to you about intuitive eating as well, because I'm like, oh, I'm pushing this on my 7-year-old son. Because normally we see like dieting and stuff in women. No, my 7-year-old son is thinking, I cannot have enough. And this kid is like active. So it's like, I don't want to push that.
Noticing that language, it is everywhere. So the conversation is, and you know, the question is, how do you know when you've had enough? Mm-hmm. What does your body feel like when you sit down to eat? How do you, you know, what are your body signals when you're hungry? What are your body signals when you're full? And that's something that's referred to as interoceptive awareness. So the best way to describe interoceptive awareness is when you have to pee and you feel your bladder and the bladder feels that pressure, you instantly know you have to pee. And you're not going to wait. Like, you're like, find me the bathroom, because otherwise it's going to be a problem.
Right.
With dieters and hunger, we're like, oh, you know, maybe I'm hungry, but you know what? I'm going to go do something else. I don't need to eat. And you can only do that for so long.
Yeah, I'll distract myself away from the hunger.
Right. Or we eat air food. Oh, how many rice cakes?
Drink some water.
Or have water, chewing gum, you know, Jolly Ranchers. They only have X number of calories and we can have a dozen of those and that keeps my hunger at bay. It is learning to not fear our hunger. We are humans. We need food to survive and to thrive. What we need to do is to learn to connect those hunger cues and those fullness cues so that we know when we are hungry, when we are full, when we are satisfied, when we have had enough, not according to the package or to the prepared meal or the number of points or whatever it is that you're doing that has told you that that thing is the expert and that you know nothing. So we are switching the entire conversation where you are the expert on you. And it takes time, patience, practice, and confidence. You don't become the expert on you overnight and feel confident. We create steps to build that self-efficacy so that you begin to believe and know that you have the ability to be the expert on your body.
That is beautiful. Like, I am so excited to go get the books and start reading, because I, as somebody who has dieted for the past 25 years of their life, whose mom currently still diets, like, my mom is always on a diet. And, you know, we obviously live in the same household, so it's, my kids are exposed to that. But it's just, it's so funny because it doesn't work. The dieting doesn't work. And, you know, just like every exercise doesn't work, you have to find the right exercise, the right, you know, intuitive eating for your body. You have to know what your body needs. And yeah. I know, like, we're always trying to, like, keep up with the Joneses. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, social media plays a huge role into that.
So social media. So that's a really interesting topic. When you are looking at your social media feed, you curated that social media feed. You curated, I am guessing, oh, you're looking at somebody's before and after picture. Oh, you like that. You want to support that. Oh, she's got this great new thing. I wonder what she did. And your feed looks like thin white women. And it makes you feel horrible. There is a whole world of human beings out there that are not thin white women, that look just like you. So it is really important to notice, how does your social media feed make you feel? And as a side note, you know, that before picture, then there's the after picture. The after picture, I would bet money 95% of the time, will eventually, in the next 2 to 5 years, look like that before picture again. Mm-hmm. Because that scientific data that happens. So there are so many different people out there that are supporting intuitive eating, mindful eating, body neutrality, body positivity, that you can begin to recurate your feed to look like people who look like you. And when you look at people who look like you, you begin to accept yourself a little bit easier.
That is very, very true. I know on Instagram, you can go through and you could delete certain things on your feed, like in the settings. And I saw what they picked for me was weight loss, diet, exercise. And I was like, delete, 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 delete. I don't want any of that negativity in my life.
Because it doesn't serve you. How do you, I do a, as I shared before, I have a TV show called Getting Healthy Without Rules. And it is all about learning to understand that we have all these different aspects of our health and ourself that impact how we feel. So if one thing is off, like, let's just say that you have trouble sleeping at night. We think the problem is, oh, I'm a terrible sleeper. You know, I wake up in the middle of at 2 a.m. Your challenge more often than not is what's happening at 2 a.m. It's what's happening at 2 p.m. Understanding, becoming aware of your mindset, your choices. What are your thoughts? Because your thoughts create your actions. Your actions are what makes you feel either good or bad. So how do we take those all away is that we help you learn from your choices. And sometimes those choices are not exactly in line with our authenticity, but those are the gifts and the opportunities to be able to make a better choice next time. When you are aware, that's where you have your power to make the change.
That is so amazing.
Do you have any social media accounts that you recommend looking into for people who want to start this journey and you feel like these are positive influences that they could follow, or you know, look on their journey and see how it's going? Because you know, there is so much out there and you have to kind of pick and choose what is truly something that is going to be a positive influence. Absolutely. On you.
You can certainly follow my accounts. There is a woman, Body Image with Bree. There is a woman, Christy Harrison. There are Evelyn Tribolino, has an account. She's the one who wrote the book with Elise Resch on intuitive eating. There's so, I'm drawing a blank of like my top few that I'm always like, you know, it kind of just turns into background noise.
Yeah.
But it is, it's really important to, when you're looking for the information on intuitive eating or body image and those types of things, diet culture has hijacked the words intuitive eating. So an example is, I'm going to put it right out there, Noom. Oh, it's this whole psychological thing. When you go through their onboarding process, the third or fourth question is, how much weight do you want to lose? How many calories? And it goes right into that diet culture. So if anything is talking about weighing your body, weight, you know, measuring calories, counting calories, balancing macros, that is not intuitive eating. As long as you are, as long as your destination is the number on the scale, that is going to keep you disconnected. Keep your head disconnected from your body. So you want to take that off of the table so that you can really take that time and get to understand what's going on with your thoughts, your body cues, your relationship with food, your relationship to all the things around you. They all have a direct impact in your relationship with food. Food is just the messenger. It's not the enemy.
So with that being said, with food not being the enemy, how do we navigate intuitive eating when most people don't know how to eat? We've been taught, you know, oh, let's just go buy the processed foods. You know, I know a lot of people who don't know how to even roast vegetables. I mean, I grew up in a very heavy vegetable. We're a meat, potatoes, and veggie kind of people. But for some people who don't know how to eat, how do you learn how to eat when, instead of like, oh, I'm hungry. Okay, well, I'm going to go eat a bag of chips because that's what I want. But I'm always making poor choices in food.
It's understanding where your challenges are, noticing, you know, where's that first barrier. So when I talk, I'm a former caterer, so I talk a lot with my clients about meal planning and how to make it accessible, how to make it easy. And sometimes people say like, oh, you know, I'm terrible at meal planning. We break that down to find out where is that first, like, oh, like the thing that gets me stuck. Some people, it's in the organization. Some people, it is about the kitchen skills. Some people don't really know the difference between, you know, fruits and vegetables and the benefits of plant-based eating. And there's room for everything. I am not an all or nothing person. What we want to focus on is bringing things in to our choices. We don't worry about taking things out. We want to bring them in, because when you bring in more nutritious food, then there's less room for the things that make you not feel so great. So that it's not about you can't have them. How do they make you feel? Everything is an experiment. What would it feel like? You know, tell me, like, if you're somebody who doesn't really know anything about fruits and vegetables, perhaps your goal for the week might be to go to the supermarket and just walk around and pick one thing that you've never tried before. And
love that.
Just going on a field trip. You don't need to come home with like 100 different things where you're going like, I'm going to put that on my bag and then I don't know what to do with it. And then it gets petrified in your refrigerator and 10 days later, you're throwing it all out. We're not talking about revamping anything. This is not the diet where, you know, at 11:59 and 59 seconds, you're never having this. And all of a sudden tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up and it's going to be this magical new food plan. We are talking about the smallest, simplest steps of where you are at today?
So I did that with artichokes. My oldest TJ, he's 7, and I was like, let's go pick out some food. So he always goes food shopping with me, and he's like, Mom, what's that plant? It's all the way up on the top. And an artichoke obviously is really cool. It's spiky, and it looks like a ball. And he's like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's an artichoke. He was like, well, can we have it for dinner? And I was like, well, no, I don't know how to cook it. And then he's like, well, you have Google. I was like, yeah, I do have Google. And I was like, okay, let's go buy an artichoke. So we're sitting in the grocery store and we're Googling artichoke recipes. And he's like, okay, we need a lemon and we need garlic and we need olive oil and the artichoke. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So we went home, we made it. When I tell you, this kid housed artichoke. It's now one of his favorite vegetables. Now, I'm still learning how to cook it. I found out you could stuff it the other day. I actually have 2 artichokes in my fridge right now that I cannot wait to cook. But the only artichoke I knew was spinach and artichoke dip from Applebee's. So and I'm a food eater. You know what I mean? So to go into the store and just find a vegetable that I haven't gotten or used or find a new way to use it, I think that's really cool. So that's funny that you mentioned that because I think that's everybody should just go into the store and buy something they don't know what it is.
Just Google it. And one thing, just one. And that's a great question. Just so people know, like I have free office hours once a month and all questions are welcome. So if you are trying to think about like what to, you know, where to start, come in to start the conversation. You can learn about that on my website, on my schedule, and those are free. So I have free office hours and free curated conversations where it's about talking about all of these things on how to get unstuck, get out of your own way, get rid of that overwhelm of where to start. And not dieting, again, is not giving up on yourself. It is an act of self-love. It is an act of self-care. Shift those thoughts.
So what is your website, just for the listeners? And I'll also put the link in below. But
it is Lisa Dahl, D-A-H-L, wellness.com.
Okay, awesome. You'll be seeing me. We're going to be best friends.
That would be fantastic. It is, we're so stuck on what society has told us about our bodies and about how we're supposed to feel. It is, you know, it's an $80 billion industry, and that could be plus or minus a few billion, I'm sure. But that is like the general statistic that I'm seeing and hearing. They want us to make us feel like crap so that they can wave that magical, mystical body, that hope and dream of this is what you're going to be, so that we continue to keep going back for more. When we shift that, when we start to believe in our own self-worth, our own self-efficacy and confidence, that's when things start to shift and your relationship with your food and body starts to shift. Your body isn't broken. It doesn't need to be fixed. It perhaps needs to be healed.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. So what are some key takeaways or actionable steps that people can take to begin this journey? And is there any other guidance or information that you want to put out there for our listeners?
Something that might be an easy thing for, you know, especially if you're not familiar with intuitive eating, and I talked about the principles, and I will share the link with you. I have a free download on simply what the 10 principles are, because it takes time to really process them and understand it. Like I have been teaching this now for a long time, and I have to say, whenever I, you know, teach a particular principle, my understanding of the principle even goes a little bit deeper. And it reminds me on, oh, like I've been doing this really well and I could still be working on this. Like this is an ongoing practice. You don't wake up and say like, ah, I'm an intuitive eater this morning. It doesn't work that way. It is that you, as soon as you take that first step, you are practicing intuitive eating. That's what it is about. It is not about a game of perfection. It is a game of progress. It is about learning how to be kinder and gentler to yourself, self-compassion, self-acceptance. It is the antithesis of dieting and taking that, what, you know, wherever you are, that first step is really kind of saying, what I'm doing isn't working And maybe I don't know what that next step is. And that's why you work with a coach to help you find that next step. Because in this process, there's going to be things where you're going to say like, oh, I'm ready to do that today. And there's other things that you're going to say, well, you know what? I need a little bit of time. I'm going to think about that. Or I didn't even know I need to do that. I'm not there yet. Wherever you are at, we work together to find that next step that's going to work for you.
That is awesome. And I know you mentioned you have a TV show. So if any of our listeners wanted to watch that TV show, how can they go out and watch that?
It's called Getting Healthy Without Rules, and it is on my YouTube channel. So it is aired locally here on TV, and everything gets uploaded to my YouTube channel, and the playlist is called, it's Lisa Dahl Wellness, Getting Healthy Without Rules. So
perfect. That's amazing. So I will also link your YouTube channel below as well, because I'm going to be watching that. Yay! Yay! I'm so excited.
There's a lot of great information, and it spans where... health and wellness is so many different things. So it goes so much deeper than diet and exercise. So that, you know, one episode could be on stress. Another one is on relationships. Another one is how to feel empowered in your clothing. I have somebody coming on in the next month or two talking about health at every size, exercise, really digging deep into removing that mentality about shrinking your body, talking about the diet drugs, the Wegovy and the Ozempic, and what that looks like. So we've got lots of great topics coming up that I'm super excited about.
That is so amazing. I can't wait. Actually, it's funny you say that. I have Wegovy in my fridge right now. Not for me, it's for my mom. But diet mentality, there's Wegovy sitting in our fridge.
And right. What is that? What does it mean to you? What is that? You know, it's not for me to judge. It is about creating the awareness. Where did those thoughts come from? What is that like for you or her? And understanding that it's not the quick fix, because the scientific studies show that when you are not taking it, the rebound is pretty harsh.
Yeah.
And going into these things, understanding the full concept of what that's about. So I'm super excited to dig into that and help people just become more educated so that they make the best choice for them.
That is awesome.
That's wonderful.
I can't wait to watch that. I'm going to send it to my mom and be like, look at this, mom.
Same.
I have a girl you need to meet. Lisa's it's amazing. Hard,
and it's just generational.
The generational.
Like, it is how do we stop the generations, like how do we make it better for our children? How do we make it better for ourselves? We've got a lot of years ahead of us. We right. are not destined to have to be on that restriction judgment train. We can shift that to shifting our thoughts and creating self-compassion, which is a much kinder, gentler way to live our lives.
Yeah, generational cycle is strong. My grandma dieted, my mom dieted, I dieted. Now I have two boys and they're looking, oh, do I need a diet? And I'm like, you're 7. Like, oh my gosh, what did I do? So hearing that, I've just reevaluated like, oh no, I need to stop this here and now. How can I stop this? And that's where intuitive eating comes in.
Yeah. And that's the conversation that, you know, this is just the touching on the tip of the iceberg on how to bring that into your life, how to make those shifts, how to get out of that overwhelming of, you know, this is all the things I need to learn. Oh no, I've been so terrible. The language that I've done, offer yourself some space and grace. You are doing the best that you can with the information that you have right now. And that's where you are. And all of a sudden you're like, okay.
Your kids that it's okay to make mistakes. You made a poor choice and the best thing to do is correct it going forward.
Every opportunity with intuitive eating and mindful eating is a new eating experience. Every time there is no, you know, the diet mentality, oh, well, I woke up and I had this, the whole day is, you know, shot. I might as well dig on in. Each time that you eat something or make a choice, it's a new experience. It is that moment in time. It is not about what you did before. And not to say that all these things don't, you know, it's important to look at those patterns so that you understand where that information is coming from so that you can use it to make the better choice that will have you feeling better moving forward.
That is wonderful. I do have a question about coaching. So you do coach. And I know you are not local to the Charlotte area.
No, I wish I was, but no. No.
So as far as coaching goes, do you offer online virtual remote coaching for our local listeners?
Yes. All of my coaching is actually online. Okay. I have a full online practice with coaching. And if you are local, I do 1-day retreats. And I also have some mini programs. I do like a 6-week mindful, and they call it the Magic of Mindful Eating, which is all online, which is a great way to be able to learn how to be present with your food. So it's one small step at a time. So I just offer all different programs depending on the time of the year and really try to meet my clients exactly where they're at.
That is amazing. I'm going to be looking into all of this. I'm so excited. We're not starting today. We are going to start practicing today. Like,
you can be my new best friend.
Right?
Yeah.
You see a new follow on Facebook. That's me.
if people have questions, I offer free discovery calls so that you can learn, how I can best support you so that I can hear your story. Shoot me an email if you have a question. I'm happy to answer them. It's my passion. It's my mission. Once I dug into this rabbit hole, I knew ethically and morally that I could never support another human being to lose weight again. I just so to my core feel that it is detrimental and not conducive to long-term health and wellness.
That's awesome. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. This has been so insightful. And I mean, I don't know about our listeners, but I am super excited. Like, as a ex-chronic dieter, if you can leave our listeners with any piece of advice, what would you want to leave them?
One of my favorite quotes is by a woman named Christy Nelson. And she says that life is messy and magical, filled with gifts and opportunities.
Oh, I really love that.
She has written a wonderful book. And the name of the book is called Wake Up Grateful. And the author is Christy Nelson, Christy with an I. You're going to be up all night long.
I know. I keep typing in like all the stuff for all the books. I'm like, I gotta get that
library. If you miss, just let me know and I will send them to you so that you don't miss anything.
Awesome. Yeah, I do not want to miss a single thing. My library book stack is going to be through the roof.
Yeah, it's easy to do.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. And I look forward to watching your TV show. And I look forward to talking to you later about how my intuitive eating process is going. Because we are going in, man. I'm so excited. You're just going to enjoy life.
And that's it. How do you enjoy life without the chatter, without the guilt, without the shame? How do you free yourself? Like, who helped pack your bags? How do you unpack your bags and be done with them? It's time to throw them away.